with a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
It's John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good night last night. Back to basketball. The Pacers proved, I don't know that they're going to win the series. I do know that they are, nobody had them winning that game last night. They are the most clutch team down the stretch that I think, the numbers are just ridiculous this postseason. Now, they put themselves in that position by going down, and it's not, I don't know that it's a recipe for,
It's not one you want to follow.
It's not sustainable.
No.
But it has been this entire postseason. Have you seen a team that it doesn't matter how far down they are, they're never out of it? And by the way, come back and win at this rate? I don't know that we've ever seen this.
No, not yet. They'll be the first one if they win a championship who have done it. No one's done this up to this point since 1998.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, it's not, they haven't done that, but they got to win a championship. Or it's just a cool little side note. Hey, remember that year the Pacers lost championship but won a bunch of games late? That was cool. No, you got to win a championship. Then it'll matter more. Then you're this crazy team of destiny. Which maybe they are. Maybe they are. I knew some people who thought they could win game one. But not a lot of people. But anything's possible in the NBA. With these comebacks now that we've seen across the board, anything's possible. I just don't think it's sustainable to win a series. It's just really, really tough to win a series.
Is Oklahoma City gripping right now? Probably not.
I don't think so.
No.
They don't strike me as that. I don't think so. Their coach doesn't strike me that way. They're not an up and down emotional team. I think they'll be fine. This will be a good game. It's going to be a little tighter, I think, than some people thought, potentially. An 11-point spread is outlandish. In the NBA Finals, look, you may win by 15. It may be a big, but come on, 11 in an NBA Finals, on principle alone, you can't do that. I couldn't even imagine laying 9 in the NBA Finals. This is the NBA Finals. That seems outrageous to me.
11 is crazy. You know what? I would think if there was one game that, I'd hesitate on. But Indiana is just so good late. I just can't. They could be down 15 with 5 minutes to go, and they'll lose by 4 because I just can't. I don't understand that Vegas hasn't caught up to them at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they probably get inundated with Oklahoma City money if they didn't make it, if they didn't make it outrageous. Because I thought 9.5 was outrageous yesterday.
Yeah.
Man, and now 11? Wow.
Yeah, well, they're looking at it as a must-win. But you can still win by – you can be in a must-win and win by 10. Like, that's just such a high number for a team that can shoot threes and on the other side, for backdoor cover. So it'll be interesting. If Indiana can somehow pull off a second win, what a crazy, crazy situation that would be. Wow.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. Good game, though. That was fun. It wasn't fun for a while. It was like, it seemed like it was 15. They pulled within 6 at like 80 to 74 or something. It was in that neighborhood. Then all of a sudden it's 15 again right away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, man. you know, this is, I guess, that, you know, what everybody said. And then at the end, it's just crazy how good they are and how good Tyrese Halliburton has got. He's got ice. He just doesn't. He's 13 of 15 this year in the final 2 minutes when the game is on the line.
He's the Jalen Green of the Eastern Conference. When it's on the line, that
no, no,
dude.
No. Well, you insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
It's uncanny. The level of clutch when it gets down, when the chips are down and they need big plays.
A lot of people are saying
Many people are saying
watching him play, he invokes Jalen Green.
There's they call him Jalen of the East.
Yes.
Instead of King of the North, he's Jalen of the East.
They look at him and go, you know, I couldn't put my finger on it before, but Lance hit it right on the head.
Yep.
Jalen Green, when I look at Tyrese Halliburton late in games.
I see some similarities there.
I mean, people call Adam Vinatieri the Scott Norwood of New England.
And how about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was still getting to the free throw line in that game and making all his free throws, and they still couldn't win the game. They still couldn't win the game because they couldn't get one mid-range jumper falls for them, they win the game. Yep. Like, Indiana had to have almost the perfect scenario where they didn't miss threes. They only missed a couple threes down the stretch at all. They didn't miss threes. They got offensive rebounds. Oklahoma City couldn't get a make from the field. Everything was having to come from the free throw line after, I think, in the last 3 minutes of the game. Almost the perfect scenario had to go down, and it did. And it did. And you give Indiana credit. They're the ones. I mean, it was a last-second shot. There was 8 seconds to go. There was Jalen Williams misses another layup. It was contested, but then you have 8 seconds to go. Jalen needs to know who the dude is. The dude is SGA. Jalen Williams is a really nice player. Late in that game, it goes to two, and you get out of the way. I'm sorry, Jalen, you're a good player, but in these instances, this guy shoots almost 90% from the free throw line. He gets to the free throw line a ton. You're not the MVP. The ball goes to that guy, and he gets stuff done. Not you, Jalen. When the game's flowing, do whatever. Late in the game, no. We got to have our little pecking order here. Because you notice who has pecking order? The Pacers.
But you enjoyed the Rockets not having a pecking order, right?
Well, I want them to have – no, not necessarily. No. I think it's good that anyone can step up. That's not the same as when you need a big basket. You know you have a guy you can rely on.
Would you rather have the Rockets or Tyrese Halliburton?
Well, Shai had a chance, even though Jalen missed his opportunity to shake. They got the rebound on what probably should have been a foul when Pascal Siakam fell out of bounds. Shai missed.
Well,
his,
you thought Shai, that should have been a foul?
I think
that not think, in that I situation. They were both.
I don't really buy the not.
Doris Burke
people
would
like
hate
to
you.
Do that not situation thing. I'm not. I don't subscribe to that. It felt like a foul to me, and if Shai knocks down that jumper, then it affects the game in a way that maybe the Pacers don't come back. Either way, Shai gets his opportunity. He misses it. So while Jalen took it upon himself, when it came down to it, Shai had his chance to extend that game to three, and he didn't get it done. And of course, that led to the Halliburton shot.
How about Halliburton? It took that guy he got off him, right? He gets just inside the 3-point line, and the guy switches and just steps back and to go pick somebody else up, and it didn't take him a millisecond to just put that jumper up.
Yeah, apparently that's a Pacer rule, like because it was Siakam who was in the corner, and once a guy drives towards you, and your defender becomes a help defender, they automatically cut away. So it's McConnell. I don't know who it was. Not McConnell. Caruso. Caruso was guarding Siakam, and he was coming to help, and Siakam cuts away, and that draws Caruso away to give Halliburton the opportunity to rise up and knock down a shot. So even in that moment, they still play by the rules that they set, and it worked out.
But he still had his guy on him.
Yeah.
And it didn't. It wasn't even, again, he turned, and as soon as he turned, he just went straight up and knocked it down.
Well, he's a big guard. You can't challenge him.
I mean, unstoppable.
Well, yeah,
unstoppable.
You got to help side. I mean, if somebody's going to come check you help side, you want to put pressure on them by moving without the ball. I mean, that's just standard basketball stuff, but they do it well. They're well coached. You know, you watch them, it gets to be a little sticky. The ball will get a little sticky at Oklahoma City. The Pacers, it's like you're watching Hickory. The amount of passes they throw sometimes with no dribble, they get rid of the ball. There is a level of Rick Carlisle influence that is undeniable for the Indiana Pacers. Did you see, by the way, late in that game, did you know they had a female coach on the bench, John? Jenny Vucic? I have never paid attention to it, and she's been there since 21. She's been in the league as an assistant since 17. She was with Sacramento 17 and 18. She was with Carlisle was with the Mavericks 18 to 21, right, for part of that? She was with Rick Carlisle there, 18 to 21. And then she's been with the Pacers from 21. Like, she's been in the league now for 8 years as a bench coach. She had the board and was drawing up the defensive in the last .3 of the game. Rick Carlisle was standing there. She had the board and was drawing up defensive stuff for the five starters at the end of the game when they had to defend for the last .3. Jenny Vucic was the one who was drawing up the plays, which I didn't realize. And Jim Boylan, our guy Jim Boylan, former Rocket, he's on the bench too. He's a bench coach, although he sits on a second row. He's one of the assistants as well. But, she played at Virginia. She was an assistant coach and I think a head coach for a little bit with the Sacramento Monarchs.
Sure, it wasn't a sandwich board?
You think that I'm going to answer that with the NFL, with NFL as my employer? That's the most disrespectful. You've spent like two straight weeks talking women's softball, and now you think you have to get off your sandwich.
Maybe
joke.
Took his cue from you, considering how.
How? I just don't like the structure of one pitcher pitching
you
forever.
You attacked the sport earlier.
I didn't say anything about women making sandwiches on the softball field.
You said it wasn't even a sport.
On the softball pitch?
You didn't.
I never said that.
You say you didn't respect the sport.
No, I don't respect pitching one person.
Do you respect a woman getting a nice ring from if you go to Zadik?
Yes, I do. And being on the bench of an NBA team making important defensive calls. I respect that too, Commissioner Goodell. Let me tell you about Zadik right now. Father's Day is coming up. Why is it always Mother's Day? Why do the moms always get the nice stuff? How about the dads? How about me? How about I get the nice stuff? All right? Why don't I get the nice stuff? Why don't you go get me a luxury watch from now? It may be coming out of my account. But why don't you get me the nice watch? Why don't you get your dad the nice luxury watch or cufflinks as well? Nice cufflinks. Maybe he wears a lot of suits. Get some really cool cufflinks. They stand out. Mont Blanc pen. There's a lot of different things that you can get dad for Father's Day that are going to look great and that he's going to absolutely love. So why don't you give him a chance to have that special day as well on Father's Day? You know that he hasn't balled out like mom has at different times. Why don't you step up and do something for your dad at Zadik Jewelers? This is at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, and they've got a selection for you no matter what your budget is. But if you want to take that next step and say, I want to get my dad a luxury watch, that is going to be the spot. And, man, is that going to be – that's the gift right there, man. For the rest of your life, that's the big gift that you got, Dad, that he will remember forever. Zadik Jewelers, ZADOK.com, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. It's Zadik Jewelers.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. I just heard this is awesome. Dell, put in the Korean sound. I put in Korean as the best on the audio. Put in the Korean sound of the Tyrese Halliburton game winner. I speak fluent Korean. So this is kind of unfair for the rest of you who don't. But this is what, you know, this is what it sounds like in other – I didn't hear Mike Breen doing this, okay? Mike Breen, pick up your game. I know you're a Hall of Famer. Wood, Hall of Famer, whatever. Not like us. You're not a Texas radio Hall of Famer.
No.
No.
Never has been.
No, never will be. No. Never will be.
Highly unlikely.
So – Mike Breen, did he have a call like this one? I don't think so.
바깥에 없이나요, 없이나요.
자, 언더독, 언더독인 인디아나가 익숙한 상황을 맞이한다. 할리버튼, 버튼을 흔들어.
아, 저 아버지죠. NBA 파이널에서도 드라마 쓰나요?
Mm-hmm. Did Mike Breen have that kind of emotion? No, I don't think so. Pick it up, Mike. Now, what he said was Tyrese Halliburton with the ball, dribbles into the front court, shoots. Wah! Wah! That's what he said.
That's what he said.
That's what he said. And so, yeah, I understand. I understand Korean because I played the game, okay? That you all don't know about the game, but okay. So
I played the game.
Yeah, I played. Well, the male golfer, female golfer.
Oh yeah, no, I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the.
They were quite excited.
They're excited about
quite excited.
Pass. Yeah. I mean, you better pick it up, otherwise Kim Jong Un ain't gonna have you. You ain't gonna be. Mike Breen could not.
Are you sure those were North Korean broadcasters?
No one knows. It's impossible.
I don't know that those were North Korean broadcasters. So you maybe maybe the guy you mentioned wouldn't have any influence on Mike
Breen.
You
don't know.
You think that's what he does?
Over. Oh, is he best friends with Dennis Rodman? Yeah. NBA?
When's the last time we saw those two hang out?
I don't care. They're still boys.
I mean, they can't be that best of friends. They don't hang out with each other anymore. Maybe there's been a rift. You don't know.
Yeah, it's true. He doesn't know.
You don't know.
I have no idea.
Thank you.
I have no idea. I will say that he probably listened to the game, though.
Who?
Rodman? Kim Jong-un.
No chance.
Yeah.
No chance he listened to the game.
Yeah, no. He loves NBA basketball.
He's got too many things to work on over there.
I think he tried. He
furthering
tried out.
Human rights movements.
Oh yeah,
he might have tried out. You don't know.
tried well, out for what?
So he doesn't have a lot of. So he's got a lot of free time if that's what he's working on now, Del.
Well, because he's fixed it all, right?
Yeah.
Human rights
no,
are
the human rights stuff
are
is
fixed
good.
Over in North Korea.
If he was
North
on, Korea, if yeah. he was in their best league, their NBA in North Korea, he'd probably average about 35 a game.
You think that low?
If anybody covers him, if anybody tries to stop him, guess what happens?
No, even shots he missed would be counted as makes. You know what? He just averaged 35 points. And who's not giving him the ball?
I know, right?
You think James Harden was heliocentric. You know how many guys would be standing in the corner? It would be the defenders and his teammates. Just go on. Do whatever you want. And even if you miss shots, they're good. Ain't no one giving him a tour date stat line. You think someone's going to write down Kim Jong-un went 7 for 24?
No. RJ, you don't know Korean. I know Korean. I'll tell you what it was. It's exactly what it was.
John's been knowing Korean.
I've been knowing Korean. All right. And a lot of Korean food, too, by the way.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Korean dish, John?
My favorite?
Yeah.
Pho.
Is that Vietnamese or Korean?
Pho. It's pho. It's Vietnamese.
Yeah,
it's
that's
not
what
Korean.
I thought. No one knows. Yes,
it's not
we do
Korean.
Know.
There's
it's
a really easy answer.
You could have just gone with Korean barbecue.
That's the easiest answer of all.
You could have just done that.
Because I know he's not a kimchi guy, not being from Chicago.
No chance.
Oh, no. Because you know why? I would never eat kimchi.
Because it's good for your stomach?
We always associate, oh, you're in deep kimchi, which is like you're in deep ship, okay?
Kimchi is good. It's not for everyone.
No.
It's not for everyone.
Maybe you don't want fermented cabbage and radish.
Fermented cabbage with chili is not for everyone.
No.
But it's got good probiotics. It's got the good stuff for
you. No, thanks.
You're not into curry either?
No.
It needs to be a certain kind of curry for me. I like the I like the Vietnamese. The Thai. The Thai curry is better to me than the Indian curry. Kicks every once in a while. I'll eat that, but you just got to be ready to roll.
Was there any chance he would have named an actual Korean dish when he said that? That's why I asked the question. See,
no,
we can
I
get
know
one
you're
out of
trying
him.
To put his feet to the fire.
Get one out.
I knew what you were doing. There's no chance. There's no
chance.
He goes,
let me think of something that's not Japanese and Chinese. Pho.
And he didn't eat that either. You're not eating a bunch of soup.
No.
Please. You're not a soup eater.
But
you,
I do
you
like
make
going
fun of
by.
A soup eater.
Yeah.
I like going. Now, on Highway 6, there's a
pho. Oh, yeah, we know. We know.
Pho.
Yeah, we know.
King.
Thank you.
We know.
The pho king.
Yeah, we know.
I like that.
Yeah, thanks.
I like that. It makes me giggle every time.
Real mature.
Every time. Every time I giggle. So, yeah, I'm not mature. Who said I was mature?
No,
who
no
said
one.
I was going to be mature?
No one.
All right.
Well, Alcaraz is in a little trouble.
You still watching the French Open?
You're still watching. Okay.
Yeah, I got it on. It's like you watching golf. They're just playing. We're sitting here talking. What are we talking about? Korean barbecue?
Yeah.
We're fine. I can watch any. I could. Right now, I should be watching Netflix.
Hey,
what would you? Let's see what's on Netflix.
Let's see what's
on Friday.
Friday. What are the new releases?
Let's see what's the new release for Lance to watch between 8:30 and 10
o'clock. Let's see what the new releases. Well, one of the things I did want to, when we come back, Isak Paredes has some splits that are pretty incredible. I was looking at his splits.
No, his road now is incredible.
We'll look at a couple different ones that are extremely unusual.
Yeah.
When we come back.
Right now, though, we're talking Texas Card House. I'm talking about how I love poker. I love to play. I want to play it again yesterday. And I can't wait to get back to Houston so I can go to Texas Card House and go get my poker on. And if you're somebody who loves to play poker, Texas Card House is the place in Houston now. Okay? Texas Card House has taken over. It is the place, not only in Houston, but if you go to Austin, you go to Dallas. They got them all. I think I got one in San Antonio. They got them all over now. So Texas Card House is not only our city's, but our state's biggest and best card room. They also got Hijack Poker, which I can't get there. I got kids, so I got to stay home. Well, what are you going to do when you're home? I want to play some poker. I want to play online. Hijack Poker. Hijack Poker. Download the app. Play on your phone. Play on your computer. And play against Texas people. Play where you can go and get your money, put your money in, and take your money out at Texas Card House. Okay, that's how that to me is the key for playing online, is to be able to get your money in and get your money out. And Texas Card House is making it easy. There's one on Green Ridge in Westheimer, and there's one in Spring. Easy to get to. Go and put your money. If you don't have time or you can't go to the card room, you got it right there on your computer. I love that. TexasCardHouse.com and Hijack Poker. Play, win, get paid at Hijack Poker as well.
ESPN. 97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
If there's any question whether or not Keyshawn Henderson is coming to the University of Houston, he shut that down. He shut down his recruitment. He's not taking his official visit to Florida State. He said, I'm done. I'm going to University of Houston. That's it. No, don't call me anymore. I'm done. I can't even imagine.
I like it when a recruit says, lose my number to everyone else.
It's a long time to December.
Respect
though.
My decision.
Yeah.
For now.
I can't even imagine what it's like for a five-star quarterback in this day and age. The number of calls and just, I mean, it's got to be maddening. It's the nonstop. You know, when guys want a player, they're going to. It's crazy the amount of time that the coaches take up trying to get a kid.
Yeah, and coaches don't give up either. So
no, remember Michigan stole LSU's quarterback. All they got to do is just got to go to the well, raise some more money, and
keep
they'll
coming with another offer.
Yeah, they'll get him away from Houston if the money.
Like
gets
I don't know how good Florida State will be this year, but if Houston. You know, Willie Fritz, we think he'll do a good job. But if there's a slow start this year, the guys who think they can find and weasel their way in will continue to call. The offer will get larger. Hey, you really want to go there? What are you going to do in the Big 12? Don't you want to play in a bigger conference? Stuff like that. They will try to wear on that kid despite his resolve.
Here's
hopefully for Coug's sake, He's good and he wants to play there, but I don't think the public announcement that my recruitment is shut down is going to matter to the coaches at all.
Not when the cash starts rolling in.
As far as they're trying now, he may just be a guy who's different and just wants to be a Coug. And
should be illegal, but it's not. So,
but they're going to keep calling. But at least so far, he's kind of fended off all comers, been a Coug, and been steadfast with them. So that's good for them. Good for Willie Fritz.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is it's way better than he's still taking visits and.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, the guys, they probably won't quit, but.
If he doesn't show up on campuses, that's good. As long as once you hear, well, I'm going to take an unofficial, it's not a big deal. I just want to see what they have to offer. Then you got problems.
Yeah, you got real problems.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to go see what their school is like or what's going on.
I'm just doing it for fun.
Yeah, that's okay. Code for get ready.
Yep. All right. So there's that. Aaron Rodgers signs with the Steelers, or is going to sign with the Steelers. I mean, we had a big day yesterday. Texas Tech beats Texas 4-3. Aaron Rodgers, Tyrese Halliburton, Astros win, take care of business in Pittsburgh. Win that one. They got Cleveland this weekend, and they started tonight. Not a Colton Gordon going tonight, and then it gets tougher on them. But we'll see what maybe Colton Gordon can come up with one on the road. That certainly would be nice. But the Guardians are coming off of facing Max Fried, both left-handers. And when you see Max Fried first and then Colton Gordon second, you would much rather have Colton Gordon before if you're the Astros before they faced Max Fried.
Yeah, typically.
Because it's going to look a lot easier.
Well, get your scoring cleats on. Get your hitting cleats on today.
Absolutely. 713-780-3776.
Let's look at Paredes. Talked about his splits.
Yep.
And it's pretty wild. He's got 230 at-bats so far this year. He doesn't miss a lot of games, right?
No.
He has 206 at-bats against right-handers. And 24 against left-handers. Is this what's happened? The Astros have pretty much just faced right-handers. I haven't really thought about it, I guess.
Well, look at the other guys and see what they.
Yeah, I'm going to. But he's got 205 at bats against right-handers, 24 against left-handers, 10%, 9% of the at bats. He's got 12 home runs against right-handers, 2 against left-handers. Just the number of at bats, but also the performance. He's hitting 125 with a 597 OPS in those 25 at-bats. Against right-handers, he is hitting, and he's right-handed, but is a dead pull hitter.
Jeremy Peña has 30 at-bats against lefties and 206.
They just haven't faced left-handers this year.
They haven't faced lefties.
Had you thought about that? I haven't even thought about that.
No, I didn't know that.
Paredes, the home and away, is that what you want me to get to?
Yeah, because he's starting to hit. Homers on the road are incredible now.
Well, it's 7-7.
Yeah, but look at recently. Look at his game log.
Yeah, 7-7 recently.
I think he's hit
six
of the seven in the last four or five road games.
Well, in his last 30 days, he's been pretty insane. His last 30 days, he's hitting in the last 30. He's hitting like let me pull it up for you. He is really killing it right now.
Well, he went 1-26, so he did have a lull too.
No, yeah, he had a lull, but that was in his last 30 days. He's hitting 250, but with an OPS of 907, and he's got 10 home runs.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's banging them out of the park. 12 walks, 20 strikeouts. But the 12 walks is pretty good, on base percentage of .331, slugging a .577. He's over the last 30 days, he has been very, very good. It is interesting that in June, you know, he's listed from a split standpoint. He's only got 3 hits. They're all home runs. He's got 3 hits in June. They're all home runs. He's hitting 188 with a .988. He's hitting 188 with a .985 slugging percentage. And granted, there's only 16 at bats, but still.
1, 2, 3, 4. He 4, 5, 6, 7. Of his home runs have come in six games in 7 games on the road.
Yeah.
His 7 have come in the last 7 games on the road. At Pittsburgh, and then before the long homestand, he hit 2 at Tampa in the last game, 1 at Tampa in the game before, 0-1. 7 road games. He's got in the last 7 road games for the Astros, he's got 7 home runs.
I'm still so blown away how much higher the games against right-handers are. I never really considered that. Never really thought about it with this lineup, with this team. But I don't know how much that's going to change, but they're facing, they got a lot of right-handed hitters, and they're hanging in. They've been a lot better here recently. So pretty interesting to see what they have done against lefties. Well, that was 2024.
Well, you would think.
No. 2025, yeah. Games played, 62 games. They have 260 at-bats to 1,800 at-bats, lefty versus righty as a team. And as a team, the numbers are actually pretty – actually, they're only hitting .697 OPS against righties, but they're hitting – you know, their on-base percentage is basically the same. Their average is the same. They're just not hitting the same amount of power per at-bat, but obviously a significantly smaller sample size.
Without Yordan in the lineup, you got Caratini and Melton. Otherwise, the entire lineup is right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if I'm an opposing team, I'm throwing a right-hander at you, but they're still winning. They're still winning, and the offense has come along. The offense is much better than it was early on in the season.
Yeah.
A lot of their numbers are skewed. Like Peretta's numbers, I don't think he had a road homer like 2 weeks ago, or, you know, before this last homestand.
Right.
Or their last road trip to Tampa, he didn't have a road homer. Now he's got 7.
Mm-hmm.
So their numbers are definitely skewed. Early on, they just sucked offensively. They were terrible. Just terrible offensively. So they're coming around, which is nice. 848 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 is the number. Houston Potter Coaters is what we're talking about. Or excuse me, no. HRP is what we're talking about right now. That's my man Mike Holly and Chris and Plotkin and Kevin and all the great people over there. And, you know, we know them. We talk to them. We see them quite often. They're friends. And that's going to be the case with you. When you are a client of HRP, you're in the HRP family. That's not an exaggeration. They are integral for your business. They are integrated. They are integral. They are all the inners. They are all that. And they're fun. But the most important thing is that the bottom line for your business is the bottom line. And you are more profitable because of HRP. Because you are not doing things wrong. You are doing it as efficiently as possible. Their payroll technology is second to none. Their HR and their policies and how they go about it. The tax, the time that you save tax-wise, the money that you save tax-wise, and all the benefits packages that are perfect for your business, not theirs. Okay, because the other admin companies, they hand you their benefits packages. HRP finds the best ones for your company. HRP.net. Tell them you heard it right here. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. We have got, put in some sound. Let's hear, Hannah Storm had Kevin Clark on. I don't know Kevin Clark. Do you, Lance?
Kevin Clark, Kevin Clark, he's a football guy.
He's a football guy.
Hannah Storm had him on?
I don't know if I've ever seen him before.
Yeah, you've seen him.
I have.
You know, somehow he got big in the football space in kind of the Mina Kimes kind of way, where he just kind of came out of nowhere and was really big. And he handles all the Mannings, like the Omaha Productions. He's really big in Omaha Productions.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So
and the Ringer and... Yeah.
I'm not sure I've seen him before, but he appears to be some kind of an authority on football. And Hannah Storm had him on. And when they got – and Hannah's going to talk Houston. Hannah's going to talk Texans because that's what Hannah do, and we love her for that because she's a Houston girl. And so she asked about what's going on in Houston. Here is Kevin Clark's take, and see if you agree with him.
Introduce America to him a little bit. He has college experience, mm-hmm. NFL experience, but not a lot of people know much about him.
Yeah, I'll start here. He's one of the most important people in the NFL this year because it's his job to get an elite quarterback back on track. He worked for Sean McVay and Bill Belichick. Those are two pretty good coaches to work under, if you haven't noticed. But when you're a passing game coordinator for Sean McVay, you're not calling the shots. So this is a huge leap up for him. For me with the Texans, do not attribute to the quarterback what you can attribute to the offensive line and to the play caller. Last year, it was bad. C.J. Stroud was pressured 50 more times in 2024 than 2023, and it showed. His deep ball went from 58% completion percentage his rookie year to 35% last year. So it's Nick Haley's job. What I like is in his first press conference, C.J. Stroud said that Nick is going to give him a lot of control with the line of scrimmage. Bobby Slowick did not give him that. I felt that Bobby Slowick's protection schemes were, frankly, it's at some points amateurish last year. You combine that with the personnel problems. Kenyon Green, who's now gone, was one of the worst offensive linemen in football last year. There's going to be a big step up here for the Texans. I think that C.J. Stroud's going to get back on track. He is as a big a bounce-back candidate as there is in this league.
Agree or disagree?
I think you got to be careful about talking about protection strategies or calls or whatever. That's a really tricky one, to be honest with you, just because a lot goes into it between the O-line coach and the coordinator. I mean, some of it was on him. Some of it was just very poor execution where guys were following long. I talked about it with Mike Mayock mid-season because he was calling one of the Texans games that I saw, and I was mentioning how they couldn't pick up twists, and he said, yeah, I saw it back in the I was talking about the Green Bay game. He goes, actually, it was the Minnesota game for me where they were following long twists, which is basically the player just has to know to come off the long twist. It's an extended, longer. It basically, you got to figure, okay, they're pulling a little game here. I'm gonna push him. Basically, you're just pushing him from as a guard over to the tackle or from the tackle position over to the guard. If they're heading that direction, make him go faster so you can see the guy coming over the top in the opposite direction. And that was just execution. Now, some of it could have been protection schemes. You know, absolutely, some of it could have been that. I just always wince a little bit because I've watched tape of my dad before, and you start to realize you just don't know what you just don't know when it comes to offensive line play. It can be a little bit tricky when it comes to those calls and stuff like that. So,
yeah, amateurish might have been a little.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think he knows enough to make that call.
Him a little bit.
Yeah, I just don't know if he knows enough to make that call.
Yeah, right. Exactly. He must be some kind of analytics guy because if he can discern what Bobby Slowick's schemes were and that they were amateur.
Right. I mean, unless he's getting
that
from
that room.
No, unless he's getting that from the Mannings.
You're absolutely right.
But Peyton Manning may know that. But that's just a really tricky one to speak on. I mean, I know that from talking to – I sit there in my Joe Moore Award meetings with these guys who are all former linemen. Some have played in the NFL. And they start talking about Texas. And they're like, yeah. And I'm thinking, man, Texas is doing a great job of sliding protection. I'm talking about the Longhorns. Sliding protections over, and their whole thing is, and they were talking, and they said, you know, all they do is slide protections. That's stupid. That's going to get you beat. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right, guys. That's dumb. I can't believe they're doing slide protections all the time. And I'm like, I call my dad, I'm like, what's the problem with slide protections? If you know pressure, he goes, well, because then you can be gamed into calling a slide protection to one side just by, you know, they give you a look, and then you, before you know it, you're predictable. You're predictable. And I said, well, what can you do to counter that. If somebody's going to show you one way, he goes, there's other kind of split protections you can do. And he was going through it all. I was just like, man, there's still so much. I mean, I know so much more about O-line play than I used to, and there's still so much to learn. If you're not playing the game and you're not real time having to make these adjustments, sometimes it's hard to make comments on that and be accurate about it. I'm just yeah, being honest. That's why I take any of that, you know, his protection schemes are terrible. Maybe some of them. Some of them is just they played like crap. I mean, that was not hard right to see. Sometimes the guys in front of them, they didn't get blocked.
And sometimes they fell for stunts that were just stupid.
I mean, we watched way more than Kevin Clark.
Yeah. And
we saw some bad play.
I think a lot of this has to do with the first impression of CJ, because Lance, you harped on it during last season, how you would just look online. Everyone's like, coaches. CJ's not at fault at all. And a lot of it's the first impression, and whether it be Kevin Clark or other people in that field who do the football podcasts, they were so in love with what CJ did in year one that anything that happened in year two couldn't have been on him.
Yeah, but that's understandable early in the season. But then as the season wore on, it's like, I don't know, guys. Y'all might want to back that off a little bit.
And so I've listened to enough of those conversations about the Texans, and what I push back on is just the assumption that because Nick Caley, his words are that CJ will have more control, that's just going to work out. That's a lot of assuming that because it's different, it's going to work. Whether it be working under Sean McVay and what that might mean, and loving CJ and just assuming he'll be able to handle the new responsibilities. They're working with, we believe in him from year one. So, of course, as long as you get rid of the problem in Slowick, everything's going to be much, much better in year two. Go ahead.
I will say this, though, Dell. During OTAs, I was watching Cam Robinson, some highlights. Cam Robinson and Jake Andrews were next to each other, and they picked up different stunts way better than the Texans did last year. So, OTAs.
I think Cole Popovich is going to make a difference. I really do. Because, like I said, talking to some guys from Chris Strausser's last spot, they said his issue was always getting his guys to pick up stunts and twist properly. Like, this has been a deal. This has been a problem for him.
It was awful.
I think as bad as it was, it will be better. But I when I listened to him talk about how Kenyon Green was bad, and then Cam Robinson and Ed Ingram are coming in who were awful as well, I was like, okay, sure, I guess. But they got rid of a bad one and brought at least guys who played bad last year. So you just hope that Cole Popovich is a bigger factor. I think he's more important, honestly, than Nick Caley, because that offensive line was a disaster. So if Cole Popovich is one of those who can fix it, then I think you got a real shot for this optimism when it comes to Texans offensive improvement.
Yeah, anything that was better than last year is immediately an upgrade. I mean, any competent offensive line play as it pertains to stunts and twists. And also, by the way, one-on-one matchups were lost. One-on-one matchups were lost, not due to protection calls, due to poor line play, due to guys lunging and pass pro rather than due to issues with keeping rushers from exploiting your edges, you know, not sliding your feet laterally. Basic offensive line play was also not great at times from guard to guard, and sometimes even out there at right tackle with young Blake Fisher, who's, you know, he's got some work to do.
Yeah. Apparently Blake Fisher looks a lot different this year. He worked hard this offseason. Doesn't have the same body. He's got a lot more. He's a lot leaner and strong and looked stronger, apparently. That's the word that I got on the street.
Yeah, streets are talking about that.
Streets are talking about that. And you know what? The streets are also talking about John Clay Wolf and how silly it is. Silly that he just gives away $25,000 a month. I mean, he said, okay, for 10 months, let's give away $250,000, $25,000 a month. Let's do that. What I need you to do is go to my website, givemethevin.com, and just then just enter. And I'll give you 250 chances, 250 entries into the hopper, and then you got a chance to win part of $25,000. Now, if I buy your car from you, you get 1,000 chances. Four times as many. How about that? And if I buy your car from you, I'm going to give you more than anybody else. How about that? So you make money, make money. It's all you do is make money at GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf just giving money away. It's crazy. I don't know why he's doing it, but all you have to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com, mail in your entry, and you got a chance of $25,000. What do you got to lose? GiveMeTheVIN.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.